from deep inside your radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, I like it when things get simple. You know, I'm just that kind of a guy. Things get so overly complex these days. It's great when you can burl it down to just the essentials, the nub, the absolute nubbitry of it all. And so it is this week after the UN weapons inspectors said they found something, S-U-M-P-I-N, in Iraq. They found, as you know, 11 or maybe 12 empty warheads. And so the debate has gotten very, as I say, very simple. It's on the one side, people saying, warheads. And on the other side, people saying, empty. So just take your choice. Empty or warheads? A public service from Hello, Welcome to the Show.
Up in the air, yeah, like a hot dog, yeah, and wave with them from side to side. Then I buzz into a windmill, then right into a backspin. Freaker, right by the speaker, never seem to get enough. Priceless expression when space is possession, like, yeah, that's the stuff. Electronic stereo phone, call me for me, look out. It's good in the day, I like it that way, but it's perfectly normal at night. Binky and a face full of metal. Her eyes is as wide as a truck, and somebody just floored the pedal. Her mental clearance is high, but the overpass is low. She ducks her head and holds on tight. When she gets through, she lets go. Cause she's a tweaker, right by the speaker, never seem to get enough. Priceless expression when space is possession, like, yeah, that's the stuff. Electronic stereo fire, it's good in the day, I like it that way, but it's perfectly normal at night. Shirt bouncers gather in the corner, feel like the room just got a little warmer. Point at you, what up with that? But don't worry, yo, I got your back. But one of them dudes is as big as the both of us, big old arms, big as a school bus. Looks like he could snap us into. I ain't got no gun, so I think we should run. I don't know about you, spinning around. How do you not dizzy out and fall down? Ah, that's what happens when you feel the sound. But if that was me, I would be
on the ground. I would not get up, I would dance on my back, throw my legs up in the air like I don't care, and waver them from side to side. I'd bust into a windmill and right into a backspin. Freaker, right by the speaker, never seemed to get enough. Priceless expression when space is possession. Like, yeah, that's the stuff. Electronic stereo fine, home for my life and the world. It's good in the day, I like it that way, but it's perfectly normal at night.
See, he believes
in the
family.
In the family.
Right.
Just like you and me, oh, yellow man, yellow. We understand, you know we understand.
Well, maybe we owe an apology to Kim Jong-il for that, or to Yao Ming. I missed Shaq's apology to Yao Ming last week. Ladies and gentlemen, my apologies to you from, hello, I'm Harry Shearer from the Edge of America, from the home of the homeless. Welcome to another edition of Le Show. The big guns went on the Sunday Yak shows this week. Colin Powell, Condi Rice, Don Rumsfeld. I don't know if Cheney surfaced, but the rest of them were out there peddling the war, peddling the imminence of something, S-U-M-P-I-N. We haven't, you know, decided or anything. Goodness knows. But Colin Powell, who probably is, you know, the biggest backstage genius since Flo Ziegfeld at this point, but in public is reduced now to saying, basically, stay tuned. Oh, we got some info coming up. Because, well, you pays your money, or actually, yeah, we are paying for this. And you take your choice. You can believe Donald Rumsfeld, who says the coalition of the willing to sign up for a war against Iraq, if it should become necessary, is growing. Or the Washington Post, which says that at the United Nations Security Council, because of changes in membership and trends in public opinion in member countries, the United States is finding it hard to get support, even from Britain. Those ingrates, well, give them their tea. So you can believe either one you want. The coalition is growing. The coalition is shrinking. But as I say, Colin Powell, he has the job of basically coming out and saying, stay tuned. Oh, information coming out that'll knock your socks off. He's like doing a promo for an upcoming Dateline. The country that exploded Friday. So, we'll see. We are staying tuned. I don't think we can help it. Now, totally unrelated, except sometimes news stories are metaphors. If you're too cold or too hot at the office, you can always adjust the thermostat, if you have access to it. But it turns out that even if a thermostat is within reach, it may be a fake. The Wall Street Journal quoted air conditioning experts this week as saying a lot of office thermostats aren't connected to anything. They're just there to give employees a feeling of control and perhaps to shut them up about how hot or cold it is. Chris, are you warm?
No, I'm not actually.
Okay, fine. No, I'm fine. Sometimes the employer who's leasing office space doesn't even know that the thermostat is a fake. Other times, it's the employer who arranges for it. One specialist in Illinois estimated that 90% of office thermostats are dummies. Well, that's to equal the personnel ratio. No, although others say the figure is less than 2%. Okay. There's a debate. Now the issue is joined. It's either 90% or less than 2%. Talk about a crossfire episode. He said that sooner or later, this specialist in Illinois said that sooner or later, you just get tired of the complaints and just attach a phony thermostat. And he said, they quit calling you. As I say, just a news story, unless it's a metaphor. And I have no idea what it would be a metaphor for. But there it is. I don't know if this is really a tale of... this is a tale of some sort of security. A New York man with Graves' disease, a thyroid disorder, set off radiation alarms in Manhattan subway stations after he was treated with radioactive iodine, according to a recent note in the Journal of the American Medical Association. The man was strip-searched by police who were on the alert for nuclear-armed terrorists. This patient's experience indicates that radiation detection devices are being installed in public places in New York City and perhaps elsewhere. Hey, here's hoping. Patients who have been treated with radioactive iodine or other isotopes may be identified and interrogated by the police because of the radiation they emit. A doctor says he called the Terrorism Task Force of the New York City Police Department to determine how to prevent detainment, I would have thought detention, but I'm no doctor, of this group of patients. The Terrorism Task Force of the New York City Police Department recommended that treating physicians provide such patients with letters describing the isotope used and its dose, its biological half-life, and the date and time of treatment. The letters should also provide the physicians 24-hour telephone numbers to allow the police to verify the content of the letters. If a person who has been detected as emitting radiation provides such a letter, the police would then verify the letter's authenticity. Even in the best-case scenario, however, the patient would have to wait during this verification process. Patients should be informed about this potential problem after treatment with radioactive isotopes. They may choose not to use public transportation to avoid this inconvenience. This is from a couple of doctors at the Albert Einstein School of Medicine. Oh, what are they? They're regular Einsteins, huh? No, they're regular doctors at the Einstein. Life just gets more complicated, don't it? And this, ladies and gentlemen, from I think this is going to be, I'm smelling a new regular feature. I don't know, but no, that's not that. That's not what you're smelling yet. But this is what I'm smelling. A regular feature called Maybe We Shouldn't Use Humor. Because, you know, there have been some apologies and other things. Shaq's apology, basically. Shaquille O'Neal, in case you aren't aware, apologized for basically doing a less clever version of Yellow Man when asked about Yao Ming. And then said, well, you know, so I'm an idiot prankster. Sometimes my jokes are good, sometimes they're bad. And we've had apologies here where people have said, you know, maybe we should think twice before using humor again. Well, all right, here's another one. But this isn't an apology. This is just... Maybe we shouldn't. Dateline Yellowstone National Park. Suzanne Lewis, the superintendent of Yellowstone National Park and the chief steward of the park and its geysers, was shocked when she sat down at home one recent night to watch television. On came a commercial for Metamucil, the laxative, showing what looked like a National Park Service ranger pouring a glass of Metamucil down Old Faithful and announcing that the product keeps the famous geyser regular. The park is in the public domain and available to all takers, although companies that want to film need a permit. Ms. Lewis said she was partly upset because of the implication that the geyser needs help to keep going. To suggest that it's not natural, that it's enhanced by a product, is a little disconcerting, she said. The park began receiving letters from other viewers who were offended. One was the manager of the Lake Bronson State Park in Minnesota, Kenneth Anderson. I suppose he wrote that in an era when people sell naming rights to sports arenas, and when we hear that some even propose selling the naming rights to the Golden Gate Bridge, that someone in the National Park Service would see nothing wrong with selling the image of a National Park ranger for the marketing of a product promoting bowel irregularity. The park responded to complaints with a letter saying that Procter & Gamble had not filmed the real Old Faithful or an actual park ranger, and that the company was therefore within its legal rights. The letter added, quote, this advertisement goes against all of the National Park Service's efforts to encourage people not to put foreign objects into the thermal features, unquote. So Old Faithful is a thermal feature, ladies and gentlemen. It's not a neck enhancer. It's a thermal feature. Ms. Lewis also wrote to Procter & Gamble explaining that throwing things into the geysers could cause irreparable harm. A number of the park's geysers and hot springs have already been destroyed, she wrote. Is that true? God, we're good people. We realize it is too late to stop the damage already created by the Metamucil commercial, Ms. Lewis wrote, but she asked to be put in touch with someone at the company to discuss suggestions on appropriate messages for any future projects. Projects. It's a Metamucil commercial. It's not a project. Procter & Gamble had not responded to Ms. Lewis when the New York Times asked this past week, but says Dr. Greg Allgood, bet he's getting a lot of jokes these days. Hey, Greg, it's Allgood. Stop that. Dr. Greg Allgood, associate director of Procter & Gamble's Health Sciences Institute, says, you're kidding. He said the company thought the commercial was so over the top that everyone would laugh. He said the company had not received Ms. Lewis's letter or heard of the complaints. Another reviewer complained to Procter & Gamble and received this reply. Quote, consumer review groups gave this ad positive ratings before we released it. Because of those previous study results, your reaction is a surprise to us. Unquote. Now that's a nice reply. Dear complainer, you're wrong. Focus group said so. That's really what that's saying. Next time, join a focus group if you want to have an opinion. Dr. Allgood, a toxicologist who wrote his doctoral dissertation on the thermophilic bacteria found at Old Faithful, isn't that a coincidence? That's like the tree deal. He said he had not made the connection that viewers might get the idea that the geyser's eruptions were enhanced or that it was all right to throw things into it. The vast majority of people we've heard from like this ad, he added. Clearly, when you try humor, not everybody gets it. Unquote.
You know you're gonna
close enough for journalism from an email correspondent pointing out in the story in the New York Times this week. This is the story. A federal judge in Atlanta has sentenced a former Drug Enforcement Agency analyst to a year in prison for taking unclassified information from agency files and giving it to a British reporter. Sort of amazing on the face of it. People in government do that all the time. I believe a little thing called Pentagon Papers. Anyway, analyst goes to jail, pleaded guilty last summer to felony theft charges stemming from his cooperation with a reporter who was helping the London Times on a reporting project in 1999. Now, here's close enough for journalism. The sentencing, first reported yesterday in the Fulton Daily Times, a weekly legal newspaper in Georgia, comes as federal agencies are increasingly closing access to information that is deemed sensitive. My correspondent says the paper they're referring to is called the Fulton Daily Report and is, in fact, a daily, not the Fulton Daily Times, a weekly. But in the story itself, the reporter writes, the Fulton Daily Times, a weekly legal newspaper. How can you do that? How can you type? How can you sit there at the computer and type the Fulton Daily Times, comma, a weekly? Close enough for journalism, ladies and gentlemen. And, I love the New York Times. They wrote about me. Now, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
I don't think I've missed any this week. Dateline Ottawa, Foreign Affairs Minister Bill Graham of Canada. Oh, that's where he went. Says he has accepted an apology from the Lebanese ambassador for controversial comments about Canada's decision to ban Hezbollah. Raymond Bachlini met with Graham this week and apologized for some of his remarks to a Montreal Arab language newspaper. Mr. Bachlini had told the paper Canada outlawed Hezbollah, a terrorist group based in Lebanon, which also has a charitable arm, under pressure from a Zionist party that controls most of the Canadian media. Mr. Boccolini also said he'd been told Canadian police always suspect every man with a beard and every woman with a veil. And he suggested Canadians traveling in the Arab world shouldn't wear Canada T-shirts. Well, I agree with I don't think you should wear a Canada T-shirt in this country either. And they don't. They try to pass. Clemson head women's basketball coach Jim Davis issued an apology to North Carolina coach Sylvia Hatchell for his actions at the conclusion of the women's basketball game between Clemson and North Carolina this past week. Davis did not shake hands with the North Carolina coach at the conclusion of the game, won by the Tar Heels by 22 points. "I regret my lack of sportsmanship at the conclusion of last night's game," said Davis. Wow, it's getting rough in women's basketball. Nashville, Tennessee, though apologizing for handcuffing three members of a family and shooting their dog, law enforcement officials said this week the officers involved acted reasonably. That was a tentative conclusion, however, and subject to further review. If you saw the tape, you might think, yeah, further review, babe. A lot further review. The apologies were accompanied by the release of the videotape that shows the family handcuffed and kneeling on the ground as the dog bounded out of their car, with its tail wagging, running toward the police officer, Eric Hall. The video shows Hall rapidly raising his shotgun and firing when the dog's head was only a foot or so from the gun's muzzle, leaving the stunned family sobbing and screaming. The dog named Patton was part pit bull. But they apologized, so it's okay. A hospital in St. Paul, Minnesota, has apologized for a laboratory mistake that led a woman to receive an unneeded double mastectomy. Dr. Daniel Foley, medical director of United Hospital, told a local television station the hospital had made changes to ensure that this kind of mix-up would never happen again. Les Moonves, head of programming at CBS, kind of apologizing. This is regarding the real Beverly Hillbillies. Told you about that show. They're looking for a hillbilly family to move into Hills, Beverly, that is, and have all sorts of reality-style adventures. It's a reality show, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to reality. Anyway, this week, talking to television critics, Moonves started backing down. "It's a show that's still very, very much in the discussion stages," he said. That's two varies. "There's no start date. We have not even located a family." What's happening with the bulk of reality TV? Ideas come from all over the place, he said, and sometimes when you're pushing the envelope, it may appear you're pushing it too far. The idea of the show was to question social mores. Yeah, they do a lot of that at CBS. If you remember the original Beverly Hillbillies, Leslie Moonves again. The biggest buffoon was the rich guy who lived next door, Mr. Drysdale. So it wasn't our intent to offend everybody. I'm sorry if we have. Dateline Cincinnati. The Ohio State Senate president acknowledged Sunday he made an anti-Semitic remark at a fundraiser earlier this year and apologized to Jewish leaders when he realized that some in the audience were offended. Doug White, a Republican from Manchester, Ohio, said he was making a joke about a rodeo during the event in Cleveland before the November 5 election, when he said, quote, "We need to Jew them down." White said this week he could not remember exactly in what context he used the phrase. It was not immediately clear what White meant. The Webster's New World College Dictionary, according to AP, describes the phrase as bargaining for better terms in a business transaction. Said White, "I had no idea of the sensitivity at that point." He referred to his rural upbringing, saying, "I grew up in Adams County." Joyce Garver Keller, director of the Ohio Jewish Communities in Columbus, said, "I told the senator he had to work on Adams County expressions that he grew up with, and he understood that." A man who wrote obscenities on a check he used to pay a traffic fine apologized, but refused to plead guilty or no contest to a contempt of court charge. District Judge, this is in Howell, Michigan. He was ticketed, Eric Wilmoth was ticketed after accidentally backing into another car. He paid the fine with a check and wrote two vulgar words on the memo line, prompting the judge to charge him with contempt for improper use of language. "It is my understanding the language I've used on that check may have offended you," said Wilmoth in a letter filed with the court. "For this, I am deeply sorry and genuinely remorseful. And finally, ladies and gentlemen, good apologies. It's a good sorry week. This sorriest week of the year so far. Linda Gail Lewis, the sister of rock and roll legend Jerry Lee Lewis, has apologized to Van Morrison about the claim she filed with him at an employment tribunal. The claims have been withdrawn. 8 times married Miss Lewis, who is also a country music star, it says here, had accused Morrison of sexual discrimination and wrongful dismissal. An employment tribunal panel in Cardiff, Wales, rejected the wrongful dismissal claim. Today was announced the discrimination claims had been withdrawn by Miss Lewis. After the hearing, Morrison's lawyer, Paul Tweed, said the star welcomed the decision. He is pleased that these claims have been withdrawn. He's now accepted the full apology and comprehensive retraction, which represents a complete vindication of his stance from the outset. Miss Lewis has given a full and categorical apology to the star. She had claimed she was sacked after telling the star she was going to leave at the end of the tour. She also claimed she was the object of unwanted sexual advances. Morrison denied all the allegations and denounced the alligator. Ladies and gentlemen, those are the apologies of the week. Copyrighted feature. And we're extending the copyright.
We were born before the wind, also younger than the sun. Yeah, the bonnie boat was won as we sail into the mystic. Oh, I can now hear the sailors cry. Smell the sea and feel the sky. Let your soul and spirit fly into the mystic. And when that foghorn blows, I will be coming home. Yeah, when the foghorn blows, I wanna hear it. I don't have to fear that I wanna rock your gypsy soul.
like way back in the days of old. How magnificently we will fold into the mystic. That foghorn blows, you know I will be coming home. And when that foghorn whistle blows, I gotta hear it. I don't have to fear it. And I wanna rock your gypsy soul, just like way back in the day. Together we will fold into the mystic. Come on, girl.
It is too late to stop now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Supreme Court this week approved the congressional extension of the length of copyright terms by another 20 years, a step that was taken by Congress basically to protect Mickey Mouse from going into public domain, where he'd be immediately involved in a lot of pornography that the Mick rather would not be involved with. Well, I don't know about the Mick, but the Mick's handlers would rather he not be involved in the porn. So Disney went to the Congress. Congress extended copyright for another 20 years, so it's now 96 years or something if a corporation owns the copyright. And, of course, this is Hollywood. Corporations own all the copyrights. That's the name of the game. And as I noted in the email newsletter I sent out to selected listeners this week, my question is, copyright and patent, as I understand it, both originate in the same provision of the Constitution. That is to say, it's that provision that the Constitution has authorizing the Congress to give these monopolies to encourage innovation and invention, artistic and scientific, for limited periods of time. I think the Constitution specifies limited periods of time. My question is, patents are only good for 20 years. We read about this all the time. Drug companies scrambling to reinvent their drugs because the original version is losing its patent protection and is going to go generic. Does this mean that drug companies are less powerful lobbyists than Disney? Can it possibly mean that? Anyway, so yes, the drug companies are, you know, we talked a while back about them having to reformulate or repackage, actually, Prozac to get a new patent because the patent was running out. And that, of course, drives up all the costs and everything and the costs of researching new medicines and, you know, we're in a healthcare crisis. And based on, I don't know, recent research we've discussed on this program, it seems to me there's another way for pharmaceutical companies to go that's a win-win for us all.
My asthma attacks, they're a thing of the past. So I told my friends about Placebra.
My chronic back pain was driving me crazy. But no more. That's why I'm telling my friends about Placebra.
My allergies have calmed right down. You bet I'm telling my friend about Placebra.
Ain't nothing like the real thing, baby.
At least as effective as the leading prescription drugs when it was free. Now you can pay more. Laboratory proven to make it even more effective. It's today's little white pill, Placebra.
If I need more, I just take more. They're that safe. My friends told me.
No touch can do half as much to make me feel better.
In over 50 years of testing, Placebra has been shown to produce only one side effect.
relief.
For my sports injuries, it gets me back in the game without interfering with other medication I may or may not be taking. I'm telling my buds.
Placebra is hospital-quality placebo in a new, more potent form. A smaller little white pill. It's double strength, which means there's more of what you take a placebo for.
My toothache was driving me nuts. My dentist recommended Placebra. Now I'm telling all his friends.
Placebra is most effective when used as part of a rigorous program of belief in medicine. People who should not take Placebra include nursing mothers, pregnant women, and those with a history of heart problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, or persistent pain.
I need more right now. I'm telling my pharmacist.
So glad we got the real thing, baby.
Ask your doctor if Placebra is right for you. 100 million says it is.
I asked my doctor. Now he's telling my friends.
Placebra. Nothing is the real thing.
Pain, nothing like the real pain, baby.
It's knocking off my diamond wig, knocking me down onto the platinum ground. Woke up in a beautiful dream.
Ladies and gentlemen, all the anchors are going to Baghdad. Dan's there now. Peter's headed there. Tom's just back. This is serious. They haven't gone anywhere in years. But there's other media news as well. As you know, starting back, I think, in December, Tom Daschle, Democratic Senate leader, started it, talking about the drumbeat of conservative talk radio and how the Democrats were being hurt by that. He was actually blaming it for the Democrats' loss in the November election. But it's becoming an increasing concern to people on that side of the political aisle that talk radio is a notoriously, famously conservative medium. Conservatives say, well, that just helps counterbalance the liberal slant of CNN and the New York Times and the Washington Post. Liberals say, hey, you got talk radio and you got Fox News. You control everything now. So, and that's a good debate. That's almost as good as weapons. Empty. So the buzz in liberal circles has been, we've got to find a liberal Rush Limbaugh. We got to find a guy. They've tried with Mario Cuomo and Jim Hightower to find somebody to be on the radio to have the kind of influence that Democrats think Rush Limbaugh has. And the demo tapes are already flooding in.
Al Gore!
from the massively impressive Fairness and Media Building here in the heart of booming Nashville, Tennessee. I'm Al Gore. Welcome to the Gore Room. Lots of requests for our What's the Rush bumper stickers. They're going to go out, I believe, this weekend.
I still prefer Crush Rush.
Now, Al Franken, we don't want to crush him. We just want to crush his ideas.
I want to crush him.
Okay. Coming up this hour on the phone from the campaign trail, my former running mate is one of the bright, bright prospects for 2004, Joe Lieberman. Did you see this, Al? President Bush.
You mean President Idiot?
Hey, be respectful, Al. He's
the man who stole the presidency.
Ha, 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 down, boy. We may have to put you in the lockbox.
Oh, no.
Anywho, President Bush declared last Thursday Reverence for Life Day. Of course, that's code for we're going to try like hell to get you born, and then you're on your own. I did that right, didn't I?
Yeah, pretty good.
Al's been giving me pointers on timing.
Yes, and he's giving me timers on pointing.
What does that mean?
It means we're on radio. We got 2 hours to fill.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So today, let's see who we're putting in Al's lockbox. That should be whom. Let's try to change that card, okay, Corinna? Got the whole family in the control room today. Uh-huh. There's a tipper in there somewhere. She chooses all our bumper music, of course, making sure that there aren't any lyrical lapses.
But they're just instrumental vamps, aren't they?
Yes, yeah. But when you hear the vamp, there's an associative reaction, you know. Your brain starts playing the rest of the tune in your head, and you hear those lyrics. So I think she's on the right track there, and no, that is not junk science. Anyway, the lockbox today...
Yeah, this is good.
Today we're putting in the banana industry. Did you see this? For narrowing down the genetic structure of the banana so... narrowly, I guess the word would be, that the spread of a single fungal disease threatens to wipe out the entire fruit.
Of the whole banana thing.
I feel like I'm talking to Ed McMahon here. Yes, 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 we would have no bananas, as the old song never did have it.
No.
So for an industry that so short-sightedly endangers the world's supply of dietary potassium, into the lockbox. Those are fun. I like those. And that's true about the bananas.
Yeah, we check this stuff out. Mm-hmm. Unlike some other people you hear on the radio.
Of course, I started out as a newspaper man. That's what we were trained to do. Check out the facts. You know, that's why if you think the media is liberal, you know, that may be why. Because they check the facts and they know that we're right. Now, that's weird in a way, because I'll tell you something else. When you run for president, you find out all the media around the country that don't necessarily bother to check the facts.
Hey, Senator Lieberman's on the line right now. Hello, Senator.
Hello. Who am I speaking to? Is this Al Franken or Al Gore? You have a company of Al's there.
Senator, this is Al Gore. Senator, I'm going to call you Mr. Vice President.
Well,
welcome to the Gore Room.
Oh, it's great to be a part of something that's been necessary for so long. A sane, rational, but yet entertaining outlet for what I like to call the principled opposition.
Oh, absolutely. And let's get right into it, because we've only got a couple hours. The war in Iraq.
Yes.
Now, does the liberal movement think it's inevitable, and does the liberal movement think it's necessary?
You know, I don't feel as though I speak so much as a part of a movement, more as the spearhead of a campaign, maybe even a mission to bring something back to this country that we've been sorely missing.
Yeah.
By the way, Hadassah and I are so proud that the tipper is in there making this program at least one place on the airwaves where you can take your children when when they're old enough.
Well, you know, when the conservatives just crank out the same talking points all day long, mm-hmm. I think liberal people and open-minded folks out there just really want to know whether this war might not be a mistake.
Well, Al, you and I may not seem eye to eye on this, mm-hmm. but I voted for the resolution in the Senate. I'd do it again, and I pray that I don't have to do it again.
Okay, let's talk about this move the alleged president is making to put a cap on pain and suffering rewards in medical malpractice cases.
Mm-hmm.
So if I get this straight, Joe, the
yep.
price is about to go down for committing a possibly disastrous medical mal-something.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't that mean more screw-ups by our admittedly overworked physicians?
Well, Al, the insurance industry was getting socked with these ridiculous $1 billion, $2 billion damage verdicts by these runaway juries who like to see themselves on the news.
Mm-hmm.
They did the only thing they could do in the situation, raise the cost of malpractice insurance for everybody. I think the administration is on the right track here.
Well, they're not on the left track, that's for sure.
What do you think, Joe? Should I put Al in the lockbox?
Oh, don't get me started.
But if I could ask the senator a serious question here, Al.
Sure, go ahead.
Senator Lieberman, mm-hmm. It's so hard, as Al said, to avoid getting drowned out by all the voices from the right.
Yeah.
But when you hear Pat Robertson and these guys talking about a culture war, it's like... Isn't that just a bad joke? I mean, Pat Robertson's idea of culture is the Museum of Clown Paintings.
Yeah, where is that now?
No, I mean, sure.
Keep telling you, Al, don't kid a kidder.
You know, Hadassah and I have been blessed with enough children to form their own klezmer band, and as parents, we're on the front lines of that war every day,
mm-hmm.
and our only weapons are the remote control and... In a pinch, the master fuse box for the whole house. So we feel, the way I think millions of parents across this country feel, that we wouldn't mind getting a little help from the government and from Hollywood with that particular struggle.
You know, I wish everybody listening could see those kids. They are such beautiful kids.
Well, maybe if we got a TV show.
Hey, listen, I don't think I'm prejudiced or anything, but I think the Gore Room would be just as good on TV as on radio.
Oh, absolutely.
Little thing we do here every day, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
As you probably know, here's today's
Hero of Free Enterprise.
Donald William Crandell, chief financial officer of Tensity, the company whose stock has plummeted by about 80% in the last couple years. He gives himself a $20 million bonus and then lays off 500 employees.
I know Don. He's a good guy. A terrible golfer, but a good guy.
Joe Lieberman, mm-hmm. I wish we had the whole 2 hours with you today, but I thank you for coming on and showing folks that there's a common sense side to the liberal worldview.
Well, thank you, Al. The show sounds great.
I
can't wait to listen to it again. Thank you for having me.
Well, we are going to talk to all the Democratic presidential candidates. That's only on the Fairness in Media Network.
I think we should put Joe in the lockbox.
Alan is more liberal than thou attitude. I love it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Fairness in Media Network.
One night long ago, by the light of the moon, an old music master sat composing a tune. His spirit was soaring and his heart was full of joy, when right out of nowhere stepped a little hip cat boy. You gotta jump it, music master. You gotta play that rhythm faster. You're never gonna get it played on the Happy Cat Hit Parade. You better tell your friend Beethoven and Mr. Reginald A. Coven. They gotta do the same as you, or they're gonna be corny too. Long about 1917, jazz will come upon the scene. And then about 1935, you'll begin to hear swing, boogie, woogie, and jive. You better tell the big broadcaster that you're a solid music master, and you'll achieve posterity. That's a bit of advice from me. Now the old music master simply sat there amazed, As wide-eyed and open-mouthed he gazed and he gazed. Now how can you be certain, little boy? Pray tell me how.
Because I was born, my friend, 100 years from now. He hit a chord that rocked the spinet and disappeared into the infinite. And up until the present day, you could take it from me, he's as right as can be. Everything just happened that way, yeah.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to turn off the thermostat on this edition of Le Show. The program will return next week at the same time over these same stations over NPR worldwide throughout Europe, on the USEN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the American Forces Network, up and down the East Coast in North America via the giant shortwave transmitter of WBCQ, the planet, 7.415 megahertz, across North America on Sirius satellite radio, and around the world via the internet on your computer whenever you want it at two locations, www.harryshearer.com and www.kcrw.com. That's seven W's. That's too many W's. And it would be just like everybody having real thermostats if you'd agree to join with me then. Would you? Alrighty, thank you very much. Uh-huh. The email address for this broadcast is lemail, L-E-M-A-I-L, at interworld.net. That's also the address to write to if you want to be on our mailing list for that newsletter I referred to. It's low tech. It's low impact. It's fast load. Le Show Internet Services by Steve Mack. I'll see you at the Globes. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of SAS, a satellite service of KCRW Santa Monica, a community recognized around the world as the home of the homeless. First a tree and now the Globes.